The 15th Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, if we live by the Spirit, by the Spirit let us walk. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, so that you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let everyone test his own work, so that he will have glory in himself only, and not in comparison with another, for each one will bear his own burden. Let him who is instructed in the word share all good things with his teacher. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh, from the flesh he will reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not grow tired, for in due time we shall reap if we do not relax. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. The Gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large gathering from the town was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went up and touched the stretcher, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." He who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave himself to his mother, and he gave him to his mother. But fear seized upon all, and they began to glorify God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul, when speaking to the Galatians, is giving them instructions on how to instruct another person, especially when they're doing something wrong. So it's what we sometimes call correction, or fraternal correction, or paternal correction. There are certain ways in which we do this. Oftentimes, someone is doing something, especially sometimes parents to children, the person will get upset and say, "You know, how many times have I told you not to do that?" Or maybe our peer, we get upset, "You know, I really don't like it when you do that." St. Paul says that we're supposed to, though, when we correct, we're supposed to have a spirit of meekness. He says, "Instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So we're supposed to be meek in our heart. Now, meekness is the virtue directly opposite of anger. Now, oftentimes when we think of meekness, we can think of humility. Basically, they're very similar. And so when reading this, we should think about that as humility, that we are to be humble when correcting the other person, when saying something. We're supposed to have a humble heart. Say it with peace. You know, St. Paul says that we are to walk by the Spirit. And so that Spirit of God should be in us when we correct someone. Now, when we correct, there are, as I said, there is what sometimes we call fraternal correction, as correction between peers. But then also there is paternal correction, which is correction of our superiors, and that's usually you need a high, very serious issue to do that. And then there is correction from a superior to an inferior, so like a parent to a child. And these all have the same basic rules, but usually correction from a superior to an inferior can be more frequent. Between peers is less frequent because you're just correcting, you don't have an authority over the person. And then correcting upward, correcting your superior, should only be in the most serious times or issues. And so when correction is given, there are some basic rules that have to be followed. First of all, sometimes people ask me, when am I required to correct someone? Do I have to correct them at every little thing? Sometimes you see people who misunderstand this and they'll keep saying one thing after another, sometimes almost nagging on correction. We only have to correct someone, and this is, we're talking spiritually, we only have to correct, and this is basically for peers, I'm giving fraternal correction between peers. It is only required when something is mortal. If something is a grave sin, then you need to think about, I might have to correct this person. But then there is another aspect to this, and that is that when the correction is given, there has to be a good hope or a reasonable hope that the correction will be accepted. If, say, someone is correcting their sibling, they're living in a life of sin, and every time they see them, they correct them and they correct them and they correct them. Eventually, that sibling will be just like, just leave me alone. Just stop talking to me. I know, I know, I know. They're not going to accept that correction. So you're not required to do that. As a matter of fact, it probably becomes self-defeating if you correct the person at every opportunity. So it's very important then that we think about it. Is it something that the person is likely to accept? If the answer is yes, then we correct them. It should be something we think about. It shouldn't be done just on the spur of the moment normally, although sometimes it can be. This is important between siblings, but also within the family in general. Sometimes I get people who they have to correct their parents. Their parents are living in sin or something like that. And it's the same thing. You have to correct them, but it has to be done now. There has to even be a greater discretion involved in that correction. And there has to be a chance that the correction will be taken. Now, it's also important that when we are silent, that is, not correcting the person, that we don't give scandal in the sense that we are giving tacit approval to it. They should know that we don't approve of their situation. But in general, though, you don't have to say something all the time. Because essentially what that does is that begins to push the person away. Now, we can use these rules, and we can use them for anything. You know, it doesn't have to be spiritual. And so it's important to remember that. Now, when I say that, I mean, I'm trying to make a distinction here between some kind of external rules that we use. But we should also have that interior, proper interior motivation. And this is what St. Paul says we should have. We should be do it with the spirit of meekness. We should have the spirit of God with us. So many times when people ask me about this, I tell them that they need to pray. We need to have the right words at the right moment in order to make a correction. A simple word at the right moment when the other person has the grace to accept it, and the Holy Spirit is able to give that little bit of illumination, can be all that is required. Rather than constantly externally bombarding the person and getting angry and these type of things. Sometimes that is the most effective correction, both to our parent, to a superior, to an inferior, and to our peer. It's important to pray then, to ask Our Lady, give me the right words at the right moment. And you'll be surprised. Many times people will come back to me and they'll say, you know, I've prayed for a number of weeks or even a number of months on a particular issue. And that moment will arise. And they'll just say that word. I know someone who prayed for a few years. But that moment occurred. And they were able to deliver the correction with peace and humility and a spirit of God. It's important to remember this, because sometimes we just think about the exterior rules. Father, what do I have to do? You know, what am I required to do? Well, these are the rules. But it's also important to pray, to have that spirit. St. Paul says that we are to walk by the Spirit. And he says that we are to bear one another's burdens. What does that mean? That means that if that other person is a burden upon us, we are to bear it silently and with humility until we have that proper moment. This is something that is often very difficult, that you want to correct a person. Stop doing that. You're going to go to hell, or maybe not even that serious. Just stop. Sometimes you just have to bear the other person's burden, but you bear it with humility. Think about how patient Christ is with us, bearing our sins in really meekness and patience. Think about Our Lady, how much she wants to correct us, and yet she knows that it's not the right time, that she has to bear with us also. They are the ones that we are to imitate, that we are to bear other people's burdens until that right moment, with that peace and humility and meekness, when that moment occurs. Now, sometimes when you read this epistle, it looks like St. Paul is contradicting himself. He says, bear one another's burdens, and then later on he says that each one will bear his own burden. He's referring to at the end of time there at that other place, that we will bear our burden at the end of time, either in purgatory, or if we don't, if we're not found worthy, we will bear our burden in hell. And so we should do this with peace and meekness, so that we are not faced with a terrible burden. Before that, he gives us a little warning that we are to test our own work so that he will have glory in himself only and not in comparison with another. What does that mean? That means sometimes when people want to correct, they want to be viewed as sort of like have respect of other people towards them. I know the spiritual life. You need to listen to me. So therefore, you need to do this and that and that. And they want the attention kind of focused on them. They want to be the spiritual guru, so to speak. And this is maybe an exaggeration, but this is what he's talking about vainglory. We shouldn't be doing this for vainglorious reasons, that people will look to us as some kind of leader. Now, this is fraternal correction, so you know, in the church it's a little different. But this is between peers. So you don't want to do it for vainglorious reasons. And this is what he's saying here. Test your own work. That is, think about it. Why am I doing this? It is one thing to do a work, but we have to have the right reasons for doing it. So you can correct someone for the wrong reasons. And this is the warning to us. This is why, again, it's important to have that meekness and humility of heart, so that when that correction does come, it is by the Spirit of God. So let us then pray on this before we do a correction. Let us pray to God. Let us ask for the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. Ask Our Lady to give us the right words at the right time, and for the right reasons. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.